So in Episcopal and Anglican churches all over the world, this day is celebrated as Trinity Sunday, the Feast of the Holy Trinity. However, in about 100 churches in the United States, today is the Feast of Knowing the Results of the Election of the 10th Bishop of the Diocese of Atlanta. And I expect that you all join me in my sense of relief that our rector, George, is staying right here with us. And I hope you also join me in continuing to congratulate George for the hard work he has been through, for his faithfulness in this adventure, and his incredible willingness to be put forth for the office of bishop. We are very proud of you. I recall many times in these past 3 months hearing George say, "Let us see where the Spirit is leading the Diocese of Atlanta." Or he would say, "Pray for the people of the Diocese of Atlanta." It is ingrained in our work of the Episcopal Church, in our life together as Anglicans, that we listen and discern, that we study and learn, that we pray and we vote. And in all of these things, we are seeking the presence and the guidance of God with us. God with us. And I've been wondering of late if we have done a small disservice to God when we figured out that God was a triune God, three in one. I went back this week and read some notes from the councils of the first 4 centuries after Christ died, and I recalled in my time of reading and study those struggles of my seminary years when we were tracking the birth and infancy and adolescence of the Christian church. Those first centuries were dominated, of course, by male discourse, which is a very polite way of saying men arguing. And often in the early church, there was also the domination of savage and brutal suffering upon those who disagreed. It is no wonder people became afraid to doubt God or to ask appropriate probing questions about God. You could get your head cut off throughout most of Christian history, even through the 17th century. If you did not believe in some right-minded way, as expected by whomever was in power at the time, you had to hide out or be quiet in order to save your life. When tracing in particular the emergence of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, it is easy to understand how and why these three persons in one God were settled upon, if you will, by the mind of the church. The evidence of the historic Hebrew writings, which we call the Old Testament, the evidence of the historical Jesus, his life, and the writings of the New Testament in the first 100 or so years after Jesus died, all lead us together to the conclusions that the church came to about who God is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I admit to you that there are times when I struggle with the thought that you and I might not be able to vision God as God can fully be visioned, or experience God as perhaps God could more fully be experienced, because these three persons of the Holy Trinity can limit what might be a more expanded thinking about who God is with us and in our world today. For truly, God is beyond our understanding. And the Holy Trinity, which is also beyond our understanding, is really a kind of formula a kind of formula for God. I struggle with the disservice to God the Father when in the 21st century we have still only retained masculine images of the Godhead versus many gender-neutral images and even a few feminine images from Scripture of God. Some weeks ago I saw a poster, and I couldn't think what it was, and so I knew the line, and I Googled it online, and the first hit that I got on the Google said Episcopal Women's Caucus. And the phrase that I was looking up, I had seen this poster that said, God is not a boy's name. And I won't forget the story that George tells of the child here in Sunday school classes. We get the opportunity to go around and visit and show our vestments. And the child, the young boy, said to him, Father George, why do you wear a dress every Sunday when you're doing this? And that, remembering that story, put me in mind of what's something in the back of my head that maybe was an earlier women's caucus question. If God were a man, why doesn't God ever wear pants? So, you know, I think we squish God down, and God is bigger than gender. Now, Jesus does not get boxed in as much as God does, because Jesus walked among us. Even as might happen in all of our lives, Jesus is referred to in many, many ways. He is God and man, teacher, healer, Son of God, Lamb of God, morning star, the Christ. It goes on and on, more than we can enumerate here. And because of the humanity of Jesus, or because of his many encounters with humanity, we have a level of comfort with Jesus which might not be possible with God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. Just a little different. I'm going to suggest that we sort of get it about who God is and who Jesus is, even though in these limited ways, with these limited titles and names we give each of them. And so I want to invite you to come further with me in thinking this morning specifically about who the Holy Spirit might be in your life today or in this community today. And my first suggestion is asking you to consider that God is community. God is community. The three persons in one makes a small community of God with us. These three unique aspects of God, these individual and particular natures of God, which we understand in Jesus and in our Creator, get changed and transformed from two to three with the introduction of God the Holy Spirit. And so God with us, whether here among us at St. Paul's in a group, or God with us in our interior life, is always as a community of the holy, a community of the holy or the divine. Our Creator, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus promised would come, make up this community of the holy. How does that work? Well, for example, yesterday, as we know, in Atlanta, Georgia, over 500 people gathered, and they sang, and they worshiped, and they prayed, and they voted, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, they determined that they would call Robert Wright as their next bishop. A holy community gathered. Last Saturday, a week ago yesterday, I experienced what will always be one of the great joys of my own life, when I was able to preside at the first wedding ever held in this, our courtyard, which is a year old now. The groom has been connected with this faith community for over 25 years, and through God's Spirit, in this community, in this place, and through you and I, they will always be connected here because of this holy and sacramental gathering that's a part of us. We are a part of them. Where is it that you experience, or how do you experience, this community of the holy? Where and how do you experience the Holy Spirit in your life? Like Jesus and God, the Holy Spirit also has many names. Ruach, meaning breath of God. Our helper, fire of God. Inner voice. Sophia, meaning the wisdom of God. And it goes on and on. How do we experience the Holy Spirit or God as a holy community with us? Perhaps it is in a moment of safety when you are threatened by another driver's mistake. Or in a moment of healing when the fever breaks. Or in a moment of rest when you get a good night's sleep. Perhaps it is in a day that goes by without a lot of pain or without a lot of conflict. Maybe it is in sharing laughter, sharing love, or even sharing sorrow. Or maybe for you it is more often that you experience God as community and the Holy Spirit in your life when we are gathered like this on Sundays. The sacraments of the church define the Holy Spirit a little bit further because they tell us that we are anointed by the Spirit, we are bound by the Spirit, we are gathered together by the Spirit, we are strengthened by the Spirit, and that we are led forth by the Spirit. All those come out of the sacraments. Each one of us belongs to this holy community, which was called into being by the one holy community that also called into being all of creation. Our Holy Trinity, one God, makes us one in community in ways that we cannot see or touch and sometimes cannot name, but in ways that we can depend upon. We can depend upon both here at St. Paul's and in our own lives, wherever it is that we go. My prayer for all of us is that we come to a place where we might always know ourselves in the midst of God the Trinity, God the Holy Community. Amen.